Well, as it's August, we usually break from the program in August, so we're not in a particular series at this point for the month of August, but we're looking at just a collection of proverbs. We're looking at different proverbs, and remember, proverbs are given to us that we might be wise, right? So again, if you want a good exercise, maybe take the calendar month and every day read the corresponding proverb and just be encouraged. Proverbs 4 says that they're given in order that we might be wise. And wisdom is something that is something that we should cherish and that we should get and hold on to. Because remember, we talked about last week that wisdom is the skill or the ability to see the world from God's perspective and to walk in God's way. And so we want wisdom. We want to be diligent. And the Proverbs give us many different thoughts or principles about how we can be wise. And so that's what we're looking at in the month of August. Today we're going to look at one proverb from chapter 13, and I'll show you that in just a few moments. But let's pray together and just ask that God would help us. Father, we pray as we look at your word that you might help us to understand it. And God, we don't just want to understand it. We don't want to leave here with just maybe a little more intelligence or knowledge. God, we want to be transformed. So God, we pray that we would hear your word and that your spirit would help apply it to our lives for your glory and for our benefit. Would you take just a few moments, just quietly in your heart, don't say anything out loud, but just ask God to speak to your heart today. And then would you take a few moments and just pray for me that God might speak through me. God, we need your help. We live in a world that's full of distraction. And even in a place like this, God, our hearts can be distracted. So God, help us to tune our heart's attention to what you want to say to us through your word in these Proverbs. We thank you, Father, that you have inspired your word in order that the man of God might be full and complete and lacking in nothing, that you might use it to help us to become what you want us to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my family and I had the opportunity to go to Disney World this past year. Rob and Michelle, you guys are in Disney World all the time, so. but we had the opportunity to go to Disney World, and with four little kids, that was an incredible thing for them. It was everywhere, you know, everywhere they went. It was just an amazing thing. One of my favorite things to do at Disney World, and maybe you've seen something like this, is they have these race cars that you drive around this track. It's set up as like a Formula One kind of a racetrack. The only thing is that there's this big rail in the middle of the track. And so the cars, even though the little kids are able to steer them, they can't go outside of the track. They're stuck in those positions. And so you go around and the kids have fun getting to steer the car. But they can't really go anywhere. You just go around and around in a big circle. And it's always fun because, you know, the kids feel like they're driving, but they never really go anywhere. And most importantly, what? They don't hurt anybody. So that's the good thing. But I always enjoyed that. I always enjoyed those rides. But as I was on them this past time, I forget which of my children was driving me around. But I thought, here we are in motion, but we're not really going anywhere. We're just going around in circles. And I don't know if you've ever felt that way in your own life. Maybe you felt before this sense of being caught in a rut, right? Where you feel like you're in motion, but you don't feel like you're progressing or going anywhere. And listen, this happens in every area of life, right? It happens in terms of our physical health. You ever thought, you know what, I really need to get in shape, or man, I really need to get back to the gym. And how often does that happen, right? Not very often in many cases. Or, you know, I need to start on a diet, or I need to start eating better, right? You say as you go for fish and chips or, you know, something like that. So often we get caught in these ruts where we feel like we're in motion, but we're not really going anywhere. Maybe you felt it in your marriage or in your parenting, where you feel like, okay, the calendar is ticking over. Things are moving forward, but we're not really going anywhere. I'll tell you where I feel it from time to time is even in my spiritual life, right? Where you think, you know what, I really want to progress. I really want to move forward in my relationship with God, but I feel as if I'm just in motion. I'm in motion, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm stuck in this rut. And nobody likes to feel that, do they? It's not good to feel as if you are stuck, you know, like furniture. You know, when you leave, you ever had a piece of furniture, and after about 10 years, you decided to move it. And when you moved it, there was this big indention in the carpet where that piece of furniture was sitting. And nobody likes to feel like you're stuck in a rut, right? You know, one of the things that scientists tell us is that if left alone, the natural course of all things is to move from organization to disorganization, to move from order to chaos. It's called entropy. That over time, unless there is some form of forward momentum, we naturally decline. We naturally move into this disordered state. And we see that. We see that in all kinds of areas of life where we begin to get into these ruts. So how do we escape these ruts? You know, we it's so easy for us to get comfortable, and then comfort becomes complacency. And before we know it, we wake up and we are miles away from where we really want to be. And we could talk about this topic from a variety of points of view in terms of how we see this in our lives. But I want us to think today about our spiritual life, about spiritual ruts that we get in. Have you ever said this? Man, I really need to spend more time in prayer. And then maybe the next week you said the same thing. I really need to spend more time in prayer. And maybe the next week, I really need to spend more time in prayer. And before you know it, you wake up and you haven't prayed in a year, right? See, I want us to think about how we get out of these ruts. Because here's the thing about ruts. You never grow in a rut. You never grow in your faith. You never grow in your marriage. You never grow in your health or whatever area it is. You never grow when you become complacent. And the Christian life is about progress. The Christian life is not static. It's dynamic. It's about following Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Galatians tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. Eugene Peterson has said before that the Christian life is a long obedience in the same direction. Like a toddler walks or toddles to his or her parent. This is what we do. The Christian life is a continual act of following after Jesus. And that doesn't happen when we allow ourselves to get into spiritual ruts. So what can we do? What can Proverbs tell us about what we can do to get unstuck in our spiritual lives? And again, this will apply to any area of your life that you feel stuck in. But I want us to think particularly about the spiritual life. Because here's the reality. The reality is that we have to do something to get unstuck. Now, I want to be really clear just from the beginning. I'm not at all suggesting that we have to do something in order to be saved. I mean, you know that, for goodness sake. We are saved by the grace of God and by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But when it comes to getting stuck, when it comes to climbing out of a hole, we do something. And I will clarify a little more what I mean by that as we go through. But we believe that God is at work in us, that the Spirit is the one who transforms us. But in order to get stuck, are unstuck, we have to do something. And that makes sense if we stop and think about it, right? Because the way we get into a rut is by not doing stuff. So if we're going to get unstuck, we have to do something. So escaping ruts in our lives involves action. You know, and again, nobody likes to be caught in ruts. It's no fun. You know, you feel miserable because you look around and you see God working in the lives of other people. Or you see other people growing in their faith and you wonder, well, why am I not growing in my faith? Nobody likes to be caught or stuck in spiritual ruts. It's detrimental, again, because we don't grow in them. But God's habit, as we've seen before, God's habit is to bless us and to grow us as we move forward in obedient faith. And so we've said before that we grow, that our faith grows at the intersection where our obedience meets God's faithfulness. So as we take steps of faith in obedience to what God calls us to, we see God as faithful. He responds at those points, and that is where our faith grows. So, for instance, remember the story in Joshua chapter 3 when God's people are about to enter into the promised land. They have one obstacle remaining, and it's the Jordan River. And the Jordan River at this point in time is at flood stage. It's a wide, raging torrent of a river. And so Joshua goes to God, and he says, what do we do? And God says, well, walk across the river. Now, you can imagine when Joshua takes that instruction back to the priests that are going to carry the ark out in front of the people of God. He says, look, guys, here's what God said. He said, walk across the river. And now if you're one of those priests, you're thinking, did he give you any more detail about that, Joshua? What's going to happen? But see, the people had to take a step of faith in response to God's call. And that's what they did. The text says that as their feet hit the waters of the Jordan, that God responded and he stopped the flow of the river so that the people walked across on dry ground. God responds to the acts of faithful obedience of his people. And it's in those places where our faith grows, as we take those steps of faith. Maybe you remember the story in Luke 5 where the disciples are listening to Jesus teach, and Jesus then gets in the boat and he says, well, let's go fishing. And so go out to the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. And the fishermen say, well, look, Jesus, we've been fishing all night. It's the middle of the day. You don't fish in the middle of the day. But then they kind of reluctantly say, okay, we'll do it. And what happens? Well, when they let down their nets for a catch, they enclose this miraculous quantity of fish. See, God responds to our steps of faithful obedience. God responds as we move in faith. He responds to that. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have all the resources that we need to grow. We have the presence of the Spirit, who is at work in us, convicting us of sin, challenging us, encouraging us, renewing us. We have the promises of God that he is with us, that he is at work in us in order to make us who he wants us to be. In other words, there is no reasonable excuse why we cannot grow and we should not grow in our faith, why we should not be moving forward in our faith. So much so, it's really interesting that the Apostle Paul in his epistles, he commands us to grow. In Philippians 2, he says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's a command that we, having been saved and converted, that we are to work that out. There are to be works that flow from that salvation. But then he says in the very next breath, for it is God who is at work in you to will and to do according to his purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13, he tells us very plainly, he says, if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. It's a command for us to put to death the deeds of the flesh by the power of the Spirit. So some theologians have used the phrase grace-enabled effort, that this is what we do. In God's grace, through the power of the Spirit, we move forward. We grow. See? And this is what God commands us to. This is what he calls us to. And God always responds to our steps of faithful obedience. So when I say that if we want to get out of a rut, we have to do something. We have to take a step of faithful obedience in order to see ourselves begin to progress in the faith. And that leads us to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. This is a great verse. I love this verse. If you ever want to memorize a proverb, I think this is a good one. The author, it says that the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. The sluggard craves but gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent. The diligent, you could substitute the word wise. And that's what diligent means. The desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. He craves, the sluggard does, but he gets nothing. Now, I want you to notice in this verse, the point of comparison is that both the sluggard and the diligent have desires. They have ambitions. They have things that they want to see happen. Both of them do. So the sluggard wants to see something happen. The diligent wants to see something happen. That's the point where these two people are the same. They both have ambition. They both have a desire to see something happen. But the difference between a person stuck, between the person, the sluggard, and the diligent, is that the diligent does something. The diligent does something. So the sluggard and the diligent both have desires, but the sluggards are not met. He is unsatisfied. Now we might ask the question, okay, well, why is he unsatisfied? Is he evil? Is God holding back on him? You know, is God withholding something from him? Why are the sluggard's cravings not met? He craves, but he gets nothing. Now, you know what a craving is? A craving is a strong desire for something, right? For something. Mandy, when she was pregnant with at least one of our kids, she had cravings, right? And I had to meet those cravings, okay? And she craved ice, you know, with one of our kids, and I had to come up with ice, right? So she could have ice. But you know what a craving is? It's a desire for something. So why are his cravings not met? Is there some conspiracy against him? No, it's because he's lazy. This is what a sluggard is. In the book of Proverbs, a sluggard is a lazy person. We see in Proverbs many references to the sluggard. And the sluggard in Proverbs is always contrasted to the person who is wise. Let me just give you a few verses that we see in Proverbs around the sluggard. In Proverbs 26:14, some of these are really great. In Proverbs 26:14, the sluggard refuses to work. The sluggard wants everything handed to him. So Proverbs 26, as a door, and I get this image in your mind, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. He wants to see something happen in his life. And so maybe he thinks about it and dreams about what life might be like. But then he rolls over to the other side and goes back to sleep. So he wants to see something, but he refuses to work. That's why his desires are not met. So the sluggard does his best to avoid the action that wisdom calls for. In Proverbs, again, laziness is a predominant character trait of the sluggard. So he won't take initiative in things. Proverbs chapter 6 is a contrast between the ant, who is disciplined to do certain things, to store up his food for the winter, and the sluggard, who would rather just sleep, would rather just kind of hang out and not do what needs to be done. He won't take initiative. The ant initiates, but the sluggard avoids action. In Proverbs 19:24, this is a great one. Even if the sluggard does begin and take initiative in doing something, he won't finish. He won't finish. So the sluggard is able to get his hand in the dish. He takes the initiative to put his hand in the dish, but he won't finish and actually bring the food to his mouth. What an image that is. The sluggard in Proverbs won't face reality. So he won't face reality, and he begins to believe his own excuses. Proverbs chapter 22, the sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I will be murdered in the streets." So he begins to believe the excuses that he makes about why he can't do something. He begins to think, "Oh man, if there's a lion outside, I better just stay here and not do anything. I'm going to fail, or something's going to go wrong, so I'm just going to not try. I'm not going to do anything." Here's another good one. He begins to rationalize his laziness in Proverbs 26, verse 16. And this isn't up on the screen. At 26:16, he says, "The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who answer discreetly." So the sluggard refuses to listen to people, and he begins to rationalize his laziness. Even though people come to him and say, "Hey, you know, you should do this or do this or do this," he won't listen. And finally, there you see verse 20, chapter 20, verse 4. He procrastinates until it's too late. A sluggard does not plow in season, and so at harvest time he looks, but he finds nothing. He doesn't plow when the time for plowing is upon him. And so when it comes time for harvest, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. So the sluggard, there is no conspiracy against the sluggard. The sluggard finds himself in a rut because he is ultimately lazy and refuses to do what needs to be done. And so as a result, he is restless and he is unsatisfied. You see the pattern there. He's lazy, and that laziness leads to complacency, and then after a while, it leads to a rut, and he's stuck in this rut. Now, think about your own life and the ruts that you've been in. Isn't that the pattern? There's inactivity, which leads to complacency, and then all of a sudden, you wake up, and you are miles away from where you want to be. And again, you can think about this in any area of life. We so easily do this. We don't begin, or if we do begin, we quit. And then we, having quit, we refuse to begin again. And then we begin to rationalize, we begin to procrastinate, and then boom, we wake up and we're stuck. We wake up and we're stuck. The diligent, however, the proverb tells us, have their desires met. The contrast is that the sluggard is disappointed. He's stuck. The diligent is satisfied. It's the diligent that are blessed. Again, God blesses those who step forward in acts of faithful obedience. This is where faith grows, as we step forward in acts of faithful obedience. God takes the diligent and he makes them fat. If you have an NIV, I think that may be the translation that you see in verse 4. The diligent are made fat. And in that context, being fat was a good thing, right? You know Pharaoh's dream back in Genesis, where he saw the fat years and the lean years, and that was given to him in an image of fat cows and lean cows. So this idea that God will make the diligent fat is the idea that God will bless them. He will give them that which they desire, right? And William Wilberforce, he said, "Surely the experience of all good men confirms the proposition that without a due measure of private devotion, the soul will grow lean." The soul growing lean is what we would see in the sluggard. that because of inactivity, their spiritual life is stuck in this pattern of disappointment. Whereas the diligent, those who are disciplined, receive blessing and grow and progress in their faith. So what does it mean to be diligent? What does it mean to be disciplined? It literally has the meaning of to be constant, of being constant and being earnest in effort. You can think about it in terms of an athlete. I mean, we've had the Olympics on, right? And these are some of the most disciplined people in the universe, okay? The training that they endure. We wouldn't dare call them sluggards, right? They are disciplined people. They have this goal in mind, this place they want to be, and they do an incredible amount of work. They are constant and they are earnest in their effort in seeking to arrive at their goal. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, remember the text, verses 24 to 27, he likens the spiritual life to an athletic event. And so he says, I run in such a way as to win the prize. I don't run aimlessly, but I beat my body, I make it my slave so that I may, having finished the course, not be disqualified from the prize. This is the spiritual life. It's this act of discipline, of constant and earnest effort towards our goal of Christlikeness. This is the life that God responds to. So the diligent set their mind on something and then go towards it. They move towards it. The diligent are constant, unwavering in their pursuit. They're passionate about it, and that leads them to persevering even through difficulty, right? The word discipline just doesn't sound very pleasant. And so often in life, especially spiritually, when we say, okay, I'm going to spend time in God's Word. I'm going to spend time in prayer. Those things are not easy things, are they? I think I said it last week. You know, if you want to grow in your faith, eventually that ambition is going to run smack into your alarm clock. Because you're going to want to grow and you're going to say, I need to read my Bible more. I want to pray more. But at the end of the day, in order to do that, your alarm is going to go off in the morning and you're going to have to get out of bed, right? You can't hit snooze. You can't have a lie-in every day, right? You're going to have to do that. And that's not easy. Discipline just doesn't sound, it sounds like a difficult thing, and it is. But the diligent understand that this is how we're going to grow. It's by doing this. This is how God is going to bless us as we do these things. The disciplined, the diligent are attentive to areas that need to be fixed. Listen, let me just say this. The wise woman understands that the sluggard is not some mutant. See, the wise person understands that the sluggard is simply a product of their choices. And the wise person understands that unless I diligently pursue something, unless I make these choices to move forward, I can end up just like the sluggard. The sluggard isn't an alien. The sluggard is just like us. So the wise person understands that I've got to pay attention to where I am in my life because I don't want to get stuck. The sluggard is simply the product of their choices, and the wise person understands that and pays attention to where he or she is. Okay, so how do we do this? How do we take steps to get out of spiritual ruts that we might find ourselves in? Well, to say it, I don't know what that is. To say it in four kind of imperative statements. The first thing is that we have to decide. We have to decide that we don't want to be in a spiritual rut anymore. We have to decide that we actually want to move forward and progress. And again, this is true in whatever area of life you feel stuck in. But especially spiritually, we have to make the choice that I want to grow. So we decide. We make the choice to take the initiative to move out. Action always begins always begins with decision. Action always begins with decision. And so we make the choice. Okay, I'm not going to delay this hard conversation. I'm going to have this conversation. Or, okay, I'm not going to put off this desire to pray more. I'm going to decide to pray. I'm going to decide to read the Word. I'm going to make the choice because action always begins with decision. It always begins there. The second thing is to plan. Make a plan. Whatever area of your life, if it's spiritual, make a plan on how you are going to engage to place yourself in the position that God can work in you. Make a plan. And we talk all the time about the disciplines, the spiritual disciplines of reading the Word, of meditating on the Word, even of memorizing portions of the Scripture. We talk about the discipline of prayer. We talk about even the discipline of fasting from time to time in order to seek God. These spiritual disciplines place us in the position where God can work in us. So we don't cause our own growth. It's the Spirit that works in us to grow us. But we can place ourselves in the position where we are most receptive to that activity. So just like a farmer doesn't cause crops to grow, does he? But what does he do? He tills the soil. He plants the seed. He waters the seed. He prays that God would cause the seed to grow. And so it is with us in our spiritual lives. The disciplines they're not magical, and they don't do the act of growing. The disciplines are the way in which we place ourselves in the position where God can grow us. So we have to decide that we want to grow to get out of the rut. We have to make a plan. Where am I going to read my Bible? When am I going to read my Bible? What am I going to read? Make a plan. In nearly 100% of circumstances, success is planned. Success is planned. Nearly 100% of the time, success is planned. If you decide to spend time in the Word, make a plan. The details, the time, and the place, and the content, write it down. Put it somewhere where you'll see it. So decide, make a plan. Third thing I would encourage you to do is to share that plan with someone else. Because here's the thing. I don't know how many times I've laid in bed and said something along the lines of, you know what? I'm going to go for a really long cycle today. Or I'm going to go for a run today. That sounds like I'm going to do that. And it almost never happens. But when I say I'm going to go for a cycle with someone else, then I start to feel guilty if I don't show up, right? Because now I've let someone else down. So listen, make a decision to get out of that rut. Make a plan for getting out of that rut. What are you going to do in terms of the spiritual disciplines? And then share that plan with someone and ask them to check on you. Ask them to check in and ask you how you're doing. And then finally, and this is the most important thing, and this is going to sound so weird to say, but the most important thing about getting out of the rut is executing, is doing it. Put your plan in motion. Go for it. Get up and start moving, right? I was never in the Army. I'm told, though, that one of the first things that they teach officers in officer training school and Army in the Army is when you're in an infantry unit leading an infantry division or unit, whatever it is, and you are in the theater of battle, the most important thing that you have to remember is that you must keep moving. You must keep moving forward, because if you slow down, if you stop, you get pinned down and you're dead. The most important thing, deciding, planning, sharing, the most important thing is just to do what you've said you're going to do. Do it. And listen, start today, okay? I don't have to tell you this, but you know the most popular day of the week to start anything new? Tomorrow. Don't wait for tomorrow, because listen, tomorrow never comes, does it? You know it doesn't. Tomorrow never comes. So whatever you decide to do in trying to get out of this rut, start today. Start today. So decide, make a plan, share the plan, and then go for it. Go for it. Nobody likes being in ruts. Whatever kind of rut it might be, nobody likes to be in them. But here's the deal. If we're going to get out of any kind of rut, it begins with us making a decision to do something different. So if you are in a rut spiritually, let me just encourage you. You are never going to grow spiritually in a rut. So make a decision that you want to grow, that you want to progress in holiness. And then make a plan. Put yourself in the position where God can work in you. Read His Word. Pray. Do those things that God has said. Put us in the spot where the Spirit can begin to work in us. And then share it with someone. Tell someone that you trust and ask them to help you, to check up on you. And then most importantly, go for it. Go for it. Do it. Start. Start today. Don't wait for tomorrow. In 1952, a woman named Florence Chadwick was wanting to swim, and I have no idea why she wanted to do this, but bear with me. She wanted to swim 26 miles from a little island off of the coast of California called Catalina Island to the mainland, California. 26 miles. She had already swum the English Channel both directions. Again, I don't know why she would want to do that, but she did. She wanted to do it, and so she set out on this swim. And as she was swimming, as you can imagine, it was cold, it was exhausting, everything was foggy, it was just a terrible thing. And there were several times throughout that 26-mile swim that she wanted to quit. She wanted to give up. And her coach is in a little boat beside her, kind of trying to encourage her on. And finally, she said, "I just can't do it." And she got out of the boat. Got back in the boat, only to discover that she was a half mile away from the coast. Well, she didn't give up. What she did was she decided, okay, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to make another attempt at this. She made a plan for how she was going to train, for what she was going to do. She shared the plan with her coach, and her coach helped her, held her accountable. And then she made another attempt. She got in the water again, and this time she was able to do it. Listen, if you and I are going to get out of spiritual ruts, if we're going to get unstuck when we feel stuck, it's going to begin with us deciding, with taking steps of faithful obedience, and then watching God respond in blessing. So let's pray together and ask for His help, because you know this, we need help in doing this. Let's pray, and then we'll reflect a little bit, and America is going to come and lead us in a closing song, but let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You that it's the Spirit that even gives us the desire, God, to want to get out of ruts, to want to get unstuck. God, all of us in this room know the feeling of waking up one day miles away from where we want to be in life. God, it happens in so many different areas. It happens in parenting. It happens in marriage. It happens in our career path. Happens in our educational goals, our educational path. It happens spiritually. As our hearts desire to be close to You, and yet we feel stuck as if we are not progressing. So God, we thank You for the wisdom of this proverb, that it's the disciplined, it's the ones who take it seriously, who take steps to grow. It's those that are satisfied. So God, we pray that You would help us to, in Your grace, decide to pursue You, to make a plan, to put ourselves in the position where You can work, to share that plan, to be accountable to one another, And then, Father, to take a step, to go. Would you help us, God, to get unstuck in order that we might be, as we have said, we want to be a community of followers who are moving forward, following after Jesus, saying yes to him no matter what. Help us, God, we pray. Just quietly take a few moments to just reflect. I don't know what God has been showing you as we've thought about this topic. Maybe you need to just say, okay, I decide. I'm going to do this. Whatever it might be, just take a few moments quietly to reflect. Well, Father, we pray that you would continue to work within us. As we sing this final song, just as an opportunity to respond to what you've done in our hearts today, we pray, God, that you might continue to speak to us.